is KFAI-FM, Minneapolis-St. Paul. Online and archived at KFAI.org. The community's true voice.
Magandang gabi sa inyong lahat, and welcome to the Filipino-American National News. I'm Alan Bunju. On tonight's show, we're trying something different here on the show. A few weeks back on our social media platforms, I reached out to the greater Filipino-American community here in Minnesota. I stated that there are 7,641 islands in the Philippine archipelago, and this is the land of 10,000 lakes. And I wanted to tell more stories, more personal stories here on the Filipino American National News. And the first person who reached out to me is a person by the name of Vera Jones. I've actually known Vera for quite a long time, and her journey, her story, is a remarkable story of perseverance. She does a little bit of everything. I mean, she's a realtor. She has written a book. She's a founder of a festival. But the main reason why she's on here is we're going to talk about the book that she wrote recently, which is entitled Look at the Good in All the Dark Places. Welcome to the show, Vera.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so excited and happy to be here.
We're delighted to have you here on the show. Your journey's not that of an unusual journey compared to other Filipinos here, but you immigrated here from the Philippines. What age did you immigrate here to the U.S.?
So my family and I immigrated here from Tondo, Manila, Philippines, back in 1984. And we moved to St. Paul, lived on the east side of St. Paul, pretty much until I was probably like 18 or so. So we arrived here when I was 6 years old and barely could speak English. Actually, I couldn't speak English at all. How I learned English was by watching cartoons, Scooby-Doo and all those kind of fun cartoons, and also listening to my cousins who have already either immigrated here or who were born here. So yeah.
And what sort of culture shock is that for a six-year-old coming here to a land where you, as you said, didn't really know the language?
Oh, my goodness. It was such a shock. But I have a really great memory of me being in the Philippines as a young child, primarily because my dad had already immigrated to the Philippines. And the story was, one day we're all going to immigrate there and join him. And so the dream and the talk of going to America was always in my life as a kid. And so it was something I looked forward to. I remember getting on the plane and how nervous I was. I remember seeing my cousins for the first time and they were so excited to see me and our family, but I couldn't speak to them because all I knew was to speak Tagalog, and they were trying to speak to me in English. And so what's funny now is I do understand Tagalog. I can speak it. It's pretty broken, and a lot of my family members do end up making fun of me. But I am able to speak Tagalog when I have to, especially when speaking to elders. It surprisingly comes out.
And the one thing I know of people, friends that have grown up on the east side of St. Paul, that there's a strong sense of community and pride in growing up in that area. What sort of upbringing on the east side did it instill in you?
So I remember being very connected to my school. So I went to St. Patrick's School on the east side, grew up in the Catholic faith, and that was already such a great community. And then on top of that, with, you know, a bunch of Filipinos always gathering, our culture was very rich, and we always had family gatherings. And growing up, also, like, you know, throughout high school, that was still very important. I went to, I graduated from Hill Marie, and that was such an important place because the support that I had gotten and my family had gotten through, it was just memorable, and it was like life changing. And my friends that I had back then, and even to this day, I'm still connected to, and even my teachers. And what was really surprising was when I hosted my book launch a couple weeks ago, my seventh grade teachers ended up coming. And it was such a big surprise to me. And I just knew they're like growing up here in St. Paul and growing up in our culture, it was so special. And for them to come and reunite and still be connected with my friends, you know, from almost 30 plus years ago is a really special thing.
And as you noted earlier, your faith is something that is very important to you. And it's something that I think through the course of this interview, people will see how important that is to yourself. Why is your faith been so important to you since the beginning?
My faith has always been so important to me. I wrote this book simply because I was called to do it. I remember having to, what was I doing? I was working out, and I was on my treadmill, and I was, of course, just listening to random like podcasts and YouTube, because sometimes you just get a little bored with music. And I remember listening to YouTuber Casey Neistat, and he was talking about projects, and talking about if you have a project that is still in your mind, is still in the shelf, you need to complete it. And this story about my daughter and our journey was still on the shelf. It was something that needed to be completed. And I believe the Holy Spirit would always call to me and say, you know, Vera, you need to share this message. This message is not only for you, not only for your family, but it really is a message for the world. And so I will help you. I will help you write this. I'll be by your side, and we can complete this and share this with the world together.
And you just spoke about your daughter. I didn't realize how old your daughter was until
I know,
you stepped away.
Old. Yes, she's, well, I mean, she's old for us, but yeah. So the story of my daughter is I had Kelly, you know, Steve and myself, we had Kelly when we were really young. We had her at the age of 16. Mind you, we were both at a Catholic church at Hill Marie, but the profound support that we got from them, like I said, is memorable and very life-changing. So I had Kelly at 23 weeks gestational, and that right there alone is a miracle. And so she was born very quickly and had some trauma to her brain, and so that's why she has cerebral palsy. She has lived, and we've all lived through this great journey of, you know, the Holy Spirit helping us through the entire way of Kelly's life, and it's just all been just a miracle, and it's all been special. It hasn't been perfect, and it's been a very long, treacherous, and sad at most times, but the stories that I share in this book really speaks volume about our Filipino culture, our faith, and how powerful it is to stay in faith.
And I just think at the time when you had Kelly, like as you said, man, that
yeah, she's 28.
She's 28.
She's going to be 29 in March now. Yeah.
Being that we're quote unquote mature in age, things are a little things were a little bit different back then. The fact that you guys decided to keep your child, you guys were quote unquote young at the time. How scared were you as at that age to to be a mom and for your future husband to you know to be a dad?
It was such a scary time, but I believe that it happened to us at a perfect time. Kelly was in the NICU at Children's St. Paul for almost 4 months, and usually children who are born early, they are released at the time of their due date, and Kelly's due date was July 18th, and so she was released probably like late June. I can't remember the specific dates, but so we were there for a really long time. It was a really scary time, but it happened perfectly. It happened when it was supposed to happen. And you know, Steve and I talk about this now, like I don't know if I'd be able to handle it because it was so stressful, it was so scary, everything was just so unknown. And the just being so naive and being so young and not understanding the capacity of how precious Kelly's life was at that moment and how serious her condition was. And for us as a family to be able to go through such a scary, traumatic thing and come out of it like in a positive light, it happened when it was supposed to happen.
And when I was talking to your husband, Steve, outside the studio before the interview, I told him, Steve, I go, you know, I have to commend you because the fact that you guys are still together, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times, and I'm sure you and I both know people, Filipino and non-Filipino, that when that happened at that time, sometimes, unfortunately, I hate to say it about my gender, but guys run from the responsibility.
Yeah.
And the fact that you guys were able to have Kelly, and you guys had later on more kids, but the fact that you guys stayed together and showed the tremendous amount of faith that you guys have in your faith and in each other.
Yeah, that was totally the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, Steve and I are very much in love still to this day. First and foremost, we're best friends, and we still make each other laugh. We're still very competitive with each other. I mean, we grew up together. I've known Steve since I was 15, and now we're going to be turning 46 this year. And so we've been together longer than we've been apart. And so, again, there were so many ways that we could have parted ways, but it was really the help of our community, the help of our friends, the help of our parents, the help of our school, all coming together and really helping us. I mean, we've had mentors, we've had great teachers, faith-based, I mean, our parents, all just very, very just uniting because of how special and unique Kelly was in that when she was in the NICU. It was such a sacred time. I mean, even going into the NICU, you had to be checked. You had to, be, you know, you have to make sure that you're robed appropriately. And there was so much security. And then when you walked through the NICU, there was, you know, so many other sacred babies there, just, you know, so ill and so sick. And I just believe that our family just knew that they needed to take care of us. And so that's how we're all still together. It's really from our Filipino culture, our faith, and our community that continues to help and support us.
And just a reminder, our listeners, we have Vera Jones, who is on our show to discuss many things, but mainly her book, her first self-published book.
Yes, my first, yes.
Look at the good. But for right now, we're going to give her a moment to breathe. And we're going to play a song by the artist known as Her. I think this is kind of the appropriate song, first song for the evening. And the name of this song is entitled The Journey.
All the times you thought you'd never make it through, felt just like the world just turned its back on you, didn't stop you. All the times you could have given in and given up, times you didn't know if you were strong enough, still you got through. Somehow it's all part of the plan, the journey. Times they thought that they could hold you back, but you've always known there was no chance of that. You're made too strong, and when you're going with your heart, you can go farther than you'd ever thought possible. Prove them all wrong. It's a part of a bigger plan, a journey.
Her with The Journey. And speaking of The Journey, we're going to talk about the journey that Vera Jones has been going through since she's been immigrating here from the age of 6. Vera, we've talked about your perseverance. You and your husband are, from what I can tell, very successful realtors in that line of work. You know, some people would give up at, you know, an early age and maybe not pursue education to the fullest at because of what was put in front of them. How did you and your husband persevere through that as well?
Yes. Oh my gosh. So, Steve and I, we have always been in hustle mode just because of the intensity of Kelly's life. And so we together always knew that we were going to build something big together. And we were just disciplined and we were able to persevere because we had this great big vision for our life. And no matter what naysayers or, you know, some people who were worried and who had limited beliefs regarding, you know, our relationship, our family and where we were, we just didn't listen to it because we knew something was pulling us to succeed. It was almost as if we couldn't help it. And naturally, you know, Steve and I are both very driven. He played hockey all his life. I mean, very competitive sport. My kids played hockey. My boys play hockey. I was a creative. I always was in my head creating something. And so when this traumatic thing happened, when we had Kelly, that didn't leave me. I always still envisioned, you know, having a great big life and doing so many things and creating so many things. And that energy has never left me. I wish it would sometimes. I wish I would get a little break, but it's still there. And so I have to force myself to be present, and I'm still practicing that. But there's still so much to do. There's still so many stories to tell. And, you know, when you had created that post, like, I just wanted to interview all the people that you interviewed because I want to write stories about them. There's so many awesome stories about immigrating to the Philippines, you know, some stories that have some hardships, but some stories that are really powerful that can uplift so many people. And I believe our story is one of those. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote Look at the Good, because being a mother is already an amazing, extraordinary journey. Now, being a mother to a child with a disability or other special needs, that is just even a crazier road. And I always felt so lonely. And back then in 1995, we didn't have social media. We didn't have, like, you know, special resources or like groups or like mommy clubs. And of course, I wasn't going to join that because I was a teenager. And I was just, I had severe postpartum depression. I didn't really use medication for it. I really got help just from being around my family and just like, just getting so much love from them. But this story of Kelly and like how we got through it, it's just, it still shocks me to this day, because I wrote 9 specific stories in this book, but I probably have 1,000 more to share that are going to be a companion to a mother out there who just needs a little uplifting story because she has maybe a daughter or a son that has a certain disability. And, you know, it can feel so lonely and you can feel so helpless. And I'm here to say, you don't have to be lonely. You don't have to feel helpless. I'm here. I went through this journey and God has given me all these tools. And now it's time to share. Now it's time to be able to, you know, tell the story to the whole world and do so many more miraculous things with it. I don't exactly know what those things. I have a couple visions in mind, but just beginning to share the story today is a miracle itself.
And of course, the listeners who listen to this story and potentially do read the book will learn more about Kelly. But what can you tell us about Kelly for us that might not know her in depthly?
Kelly is like 10x me with cerebral palsy. She's a go-getter. She's very stubborn. She's beautiful. She's got the brightest smile. One of the best things about Kelly is that she does persevere. She has, once she gets something in her mind set, there's no really stopping her. A quick story to tell about Kelly is when she was in her late teens, early 20s, she wanted to join the Army. And of course, I knew she wasn't going to be able to join the Army. And I just didn't have the heart. And I knew I couldn't tell her no. Because if I told her no and put that seed, that limited belief, then if anything else were to come up, it would be an automatic no. And so I had to say, okay, go sign up. Let's see what happens. So she goes, gets interviewed, and comes back crying. And of course, I listen to her. I say, okay, it's okay. We can go and do something else. And of course, once that's done, I go and cry in the closet because I wanted my baby to be able to do those things. But, you know, she has a disability. She has cerebral palsy and she has some physical limits. And so the Army was not going to be in her path. However, maybe let's do something else. So, yeah, she's so talented and she has so much to give. And she's working on finishing her psychology degree. She wants to be able to help other kids with disabilities. And she is just a powerhouse. So when everybody meets her, they will get power from her.
And before we end the show, where can our listeners find information about the book or...
Yeah, absolutely. They can look online at www.lookatthegood.com. It's only with one T. And you can purchase it right through the website or you can purchase it through Amazon. And it's not on audio yet. I'm working on that. But you can get the paperback and also you can get it through Kindle.
As you said, you are a woman of many projects. You think out of the box. Something we'll talk into more deeper discussion in the future is next year will be the second annual Minnesota Lumpia Festival.
This year, yeah.
Or this year, yes,
yeah,
this year.
This year.
This
yes.
year.
Yes.
You and Josie.
Yep.
Are the co-founders yep. of that event. How did yeah. that out-of-the-box idea
yeah,
come
so
to fruition?
The Minnesota Lumpia Festival totally came from Josie. She... She sent me a message through Facebook and said, hey, I have this idea. I want to be able to create this event. I need you to help execute. So I said, okay, great. Let's do it. And ever since then, we, you know, connected and we created the first ever Minnesota Lumpia Festival, which was so fun, which is focused on family. A family day, and now we're going into our second year. So, yeah, it's exciting.
And I'm sure the people of the northern suburbs were
yes.
happy that there is an
oh
event
my gosh,
out
yes.
that area.
They so appreciate it. I had people from Ramsey. I had people from Andover, Brooklyn Park, Plymouth, Maple Grove saying, oh, my gosh, thank you guys for throwing this event because everything really happens on the east side of St. Paul. And they were just so grateful. And I was so grateful to meet so many more Filipinos. So, yeah, we're really excited.
Well, Vera Jones, we are happy that you joined us
thank
here
you.
Today on the Filipino American
thank
National
News. Thank
you
so much
News.
For having me.
And I know you have so many more stories to tell
yes.
in the future, and we will definitely have you back on
yes.
in the future. But we are going to end the show with a song from an artist by the name of Rain, and the song is Raindrop. Stay tuned for sound effects.
Full bloom, and I wonder why can't I smile? Just like I can't take no more, the curtains I have shut them closed, cause I don't seem to like that happy light. They all say that they're gonna stay, but
This is Sound Effects, a radio playground, a compendium of radio theater, comedy, and the audio arts, with your host, Jerry Stearns.